listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist NEPR's Week in Review. With us today, Chris Collins, columnist with the Greenfield Recorder, and Kristen Palpini, reporter with the Berkshire Eagle. Welcome to you both.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Now that former Massachusetts Senate President Stan Rosenberg has resigned, the focus has turned to who will succeed him on Beacon Hill. When he stepped down last week, that left only one fellow Democrat on the ballot, Chelsea Klein, as the filing deadline for candidates had passed just a few days before. Northampton Mayor David Narkowitz wanted state officials to extend the deadline in order to allow more candidates to get their names on the ballot. That suggestion went nowhere. Chris, did state officials make the right call there?
I think it's abhorrent that there's no mechanism to replace a senator who leaves. And in this situation, you've got a state rep from the first Hampshire district who dies, and then you have Rosenberg who steps down, leaving Hatfield and Northampton, the biggest city in the district, with no representation. But you can't change the rules midstream. And certainly there is a mechanism. You know, people can write their names in, and we're seeing candidates emerge. But the legislature has to find a way to clean this up and not leave towns hanging like this in the middle of the budget cycle.
Chris, you mentioned some write-in candidates emerging, and of course that's a very tall task when you're trying to run in a 24-town district. But John Cybak, the state representative from South Hadley, did have some success running as a write-in in 2002.
The first challenge is making sure that people know you are, in fact, a candidate and are running. And the second one is that people know how to vote for you. It varies from community to community in terms of how those voting machines work.
So, Kristen, there's at least three people right now looking to run against Klein as a write-in. Will any of these people be able to pull it off?
I don't think so. It is nice to have more people challenging and have more debate and everything. But to get your name out and you're not going to be on the ballot across all these towns, you need money, serious money for that. And I don't know that that's where these people are coming from.
You also need name recognition. And the thing about Cybak's race when he ran was he only had three towns to deal with. This is 22 towns. The guy who should be running is David Narkowitz. He's not going to because he just got reelected mayor in Northampton. But you need a name with some political heft that will bring those dollars and bring name recognition.
Mm.
Meanwhile, officials with MGM Springfield say they are working with tourism officials around Western Massachusetts to help promote the area as the casino is a little bit more than 3 months away from opening. MGM says it plans to spend $50 million to put on events and help promote Western Massachusetts, including the Berkshires. Kristen, you wrote about this recently in The Eagle. What did you hear?
So I called a lot of the players in tourism and business in the area, and they all seemed really excited and very hopeful about MGM. There aren't any real solid contracts yet, which is a little interesting. We're kind of getting close, so I want to see those developing like now.
Chris, does MGM really have to play ball with these folks at this point? And do you think they'll stay committed to these efforts in the years to come?
I do. I think it's unrealistic. And I read your story and I thought it was great, Kristen. But I think it's unrealistic to expect the casino to market the Berkshires or any other region. You know, their job is to market themselves, to bring bodies in. I think it's good to see that there are people in Berkshire County and there are conversations in Hampshire County as well and Franklin County to find ways to lure those people from the casinos into their backyards. Northampton has just gotten a grant from the state to allow them to help market specifically their hospitality industry to try and get the people out of the casino up to Northampton to have dinner and to take part in the arts. But in the final analysis, the casino is going to think about themselves. And once their goal is to get people in and shut the door with their money. They're not going to, I don't necessarily think, go out of their way to say, oh, by the way, go up to Massmocha.
You know, the interesting thing I thought was when I was talking to the casino folks, they were saying that, you know, Western Mass, it would be good for their high-end customers. They weren't talking about, you know, the regular folks who show up on the bus.
And that's where they make their money. That's where they make their money. And that's the thing. I mean, you're not gonna get those people who were there on the bus to go up to the Berkshires or up to Northampton. It's just not gonna happen.
They got a bus to catch.
Exactly.
Kristen, what about the long-term effort by MGM? Do you see that continuing?
That's a good question. I think they'll make their contracts. I think they will use some local vendors, because why not? We got great stuff out here. But will they seek to do more beyond that? I don't think so.
I think it depends on how successful the casino is. Mm. I think if they have money, then they make quite a bit of money, they might think about it, but I don't see it a long-term thing.
Recently, lawmakers in Connecticut approved a bill which would pledge the state's electoral votes to the presidential candidate who wins the popular vote, regardless of the results in their own state. Right now, 10 states and the District of Columbia already are in a compact to do the same thing, but that would not take effect until a whole bunch more states pass it. Chris, with Connecticut, half of New England states will be on board, including Massachusetts and Rhode Island. Is this just a partisan reaction to the Trump victory in 2016 and a similar situation with the Electoral College back in 2000 with Bush Gore?
Yes, it's a stupid idea. It would undermine or start to undermine a process that's been in place since the 1800s. And I understand the frustration at Trump winning, and I understand the frustration at Bush winning, and you're going to have anomalies like this. The bottom line is that I don't, as a person from a rural area, want major metropolitan areas deciding who the leader of the free world is every 4 years. And you'd get rid of Electoral College, and that's what's going to happen.
Kristen, you're nodding your head.
I am, although I like this idea. But I do agree with you. It doesn't bode well for folks in rural counties, and it doesn't bode well for Republicans. It's going to aid the Democrats. But I think that it's a good idea. I think the Electoral College has shown it's useless. We elect everything else by popular vote. And, you know, if the Electoral College was going to do something, it was the last election. That was their opportunity.
Yeah, I disagree that it's useless. I think that it was put in place for a reason. Going back in time to the history of it, it was put in place to ensure that rural and urban areas had an equal say in choosing the president. And even though it's been imperfect, I don't think you scrap it for something like this.
Well, that's true. But I think gerrymandering has blown that away.
And finally, graduation season gets underway. UMass is graduating this afternoon in Amherst. Kristen, what advice would you have for upcoming college graduates as they get ready to enter the real world?
I would say the best advice I got was don't be afraid to fail. It's going to happen, and it's okay. Just pick yourself up.
Chris?
I would agree with that. I think my advice would have probably come 4 years earlier, which is don't spend all your time in a classroom for 4 years thinking you're going to graduate and automatically get a job. Even though the job market's hot right now, and some would say we're almost at full employment, the best thing you can do is get as much real-world experience as possible. Don't be afraid to fail, yes, and that means take a job. Even if it's not a job that was your part of your major, you can always learn from life experiences.
All right, Kristen Palpini of the Berkshire Eagle and Chris Collins of the Greenfield Recorder, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And thank you, our loyal listeners of The Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And remember, you can catch us at any time wherever you get your podcasts or at nepr.net/podcast. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.